there's just too many of them. You saw in there too a young man that was always translating for me. That's my Chinese son, Timothy. Dawn and I adopted him back in 2007 as our son, and not legally, we just adopted him. And I worked with him to be a translator, and so he does a lot of translating for me. He set up all the meetings for me. He takes me, you know, he took me everywhere that I went, and it's just amazing how God is moving. And you saw the church that had the big cross on the floor, that's his church that he has started in the last year, and God is thriving there and moving powerfully. So great times, and God is really doing awesome things in China. They're very hungry. The only thing difference that I would say between the American church and the Chinese church is the expectation. That's the only thing. I know God does miracles here. We heard it today. Amen. But they come with such expectation. Everybody, they believe. If I said, okay, anybody that wants prayer right now, come to the front. Well, I don't do that in China anymore. Because I get run over. Pastor Jesse knows. What I do is I tell the pastor, I said, I'm going to pray for everybody. If you could line them up, single file, and bring them one at a time so I can pray for them. Because this gets nuts. They crowd me. They got me pressed against the wall. It's just because they're so hungry. And I'm like, yeah, I have to push back or I back up. And, you know, and then they're crowding in and then people are falling everywhere. I'm like, let's just kind of do it decently in order. So they do. They just line them up and they bring them through and they drag them out and they bring them through and they drag them out. And I'm like, I'm good with that. Keeps me safe. But the message that I brought to China, the one that the Lord put on my heart, is titled "Having When God Fights Your Battles." Because I believe that the enemy right now is at work in the land to bring such distraction to us that we take our eyes off what God has said, what God is doing, and we focus them on our problems. We focus them on the issue of life that we're so distracted by the cares and the burdens of this world. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, let go of every weight and sin that so easily ensnares you. And I believe that the enemy is trying to put weights on people to distract us from what God has. So I'm going to give you four things today to refocus you. I was in Kentucky, sat with a man, and we had just had church, and he said, you know, he says, I went through a season, he goes, where I used to read all the time, and then slowly, he says, I found myself not wanting to read. And he says, pretty soon, man, I couldn't even pick up my Bible anymore. I couldn't read at all. And he said, and one day I was cleaning, going through some boxes, and I found an old pair of reader glasses. And he goes, and I put them on. And I looked down, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm blind. Because he didn't realize the reason why he stopped reading is because his sight had gone bad. And he couldn't read. And that's why he just gave up on it. And I believe the enemy is at work right now to try and bring that same fog over the people of God, that we stop entering into what God has called us to. That we stop pressing in. We stop doing the things that God has called us to do. So today I'm going to give you four things to keep the fog off. Amen? Four things to fight the enemy. But not you fight the enemy, but God to fight your battle. How many of you like God to fight all your battles? I'm going to give you four things today that will cause God to fight your battles. We're going to start in Isaiah 61. I'm going to go quick. So, there are four words, and you'll be able to write them down as we go. But he says in Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now listen, we have more than that. The Spirit of the Lord God isn't just upon us. The Spirit of the Lord God is in us now. Amen? Because he said in John 14, he says, the Spirit who was with you will now be in you. So the Spirit of God is in us, and then he has anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent us to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now here's the key in verse 3. This is where we start to give, to console those who mourn, to give. Everybody say, to give. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And right here, this is when God starts fighting for us, right here. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When we put on praise in our lives, it defeats the heaviness that we experience in this life. When we openly, no matter what we're going through, begin to praise the Lord, it breaks any right that the enemy would have to come and put heaviness on us. The garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness will be gone from us. Amen? I know I've told you before about this 16-year-old kid I prayed for in Japan. They said, you know, go pray for him. He's on his hands and his knees. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I feel this heaviness on me. So I remembered this scripture. So I said, worship team, come up. Let's begin to praise the Lord. And we just begin to sing the name of Jesus. And as we sang the name of Jesus, I'll never forget, I got my hands on his back. He flew up in the air. He screamed. And what was so funny to me, he flipped over and landed on his back, but his shoes went flying off. And he was instantly delivered. But as we praise the Lord, we put on that garment of praise. He needed us to come alongside him, because Pastor Jesse, when people are feeling that heaviness, when they're feeling that depressed mode, they have a hard time opening up their voice to praise God. You know, how can you expect me to praise God when I feel the way I do? Well, that's why we need each other, amen? We need people to come alongside. You need to call Jawan and say, hey, I need you to start praising God for me, man. Help me, help me, help me. You know, or put on some praise music and do something that causes you to enter into praise that breaks off with the enemy. Because it's a spirit. It's a spirit that comes to depress you. And God does not give that to you. So what breaks it? Cleaning off my goggles and focusing on God and praising Him. And praising Him. So, number one, praise God. Amen? Number two is in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10. Start at verse 10. It says, bring all the tithes. Everybody say tithes. How much is a tithe? You know, I brought this message to China. When I was done, the pastor, as we were talking and we were eating, he says, nobody has ever talked about tithing to my people. I said, really? I said, well, praise God, because I'm not here to get money. You know, I'm paying to go. I'm there to see that they get blessed, that they receive the promises of God. Amen? That's what was my objective, and they loved it. They received it. He says, bring all your tithes to the storehouse. If this is your church, this is your storehouse. That there may be food in my house. And they try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it. Does anybody have too much? Then we're not there yet. It's a promise that we can receive, amen? You keep tithing, you keep giving, you keep sowing seed. I was with a brother in China I've known for probably 10 years. He runs a special needs orphanage. And what they do is they go to Chinese orphanages and they take out the sick babies. They take out the ones that need a new heart. They take out the ones with the cleft palate. You know, they take out the kids that are really in bad shape. And they bring them into their orphanage and they get operations done for them. And they get them healed. And they've lost a few along the way. They've had a few die. They had a wall I was looking at. And it just brought tears to my eyes because these little guys didn't make it. And many of them are discarded. And they get liver transplants for kids. And they had this little boy that had a liver transplant. And usually when they get a liver transplant, they're in ICU for 6 or 7 days. And ICU costs $1,000 a day. And they don't have insurance. They can't walk in and say, bill me. They have to pay up front. So they had this little boy that had a liver transplant that was 52 days in ICU. Just do the math. That's $52,000 they'd already put out. They were praying as a couple, as a husband and wife, to say, Lord, what do we do personally here? What should we do? And they both came into agreement that they were to pay for 5 days, $5,000. So they donated that money to their charity. And a week later, he's a businessman, he's a pastor, businessman from New York. He's a Mennonite, a Pentecostal Mennonite. He had me preach at the International Church, and he said, Ron, I don't care if you stand up there and laugh the whole time. I don't care. Just let it flow, man. And the power of God came down in that International Church, and it was incredible. When he introduced me, he just said, I don't know. I'm kind of afraid what might happen right now. Just, we're going to let God be God. And he sat down. I'm like, okay. But he gave the $5,000. A week later, his property manager from New York calls him and says, hey, have you ever thought about selling this property? And he goes, why would I want to sell that property right now? It's depressed. That area is depressed. He goes, something changed in the last week. And the value went up on your property, $500,000. See, when we bring tithes and offering to the Lord, God multiplies it, amen? When we're faithful to the Lord and we do what He tells us to do, it's amazing what God will do, amen? And I told this story, the seed we sowed into Pakistan, how God blessed this church back 10 times that amount of what we sowed into Pakistan. God is good, amen? And when we're faithful, He's the rewarder. But it gets even better. It just goes beyond what I can even imagine. Because I didn't turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it says, and I, the Lord, will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So, when I give to the Lord, He is going to intervene for me, and He is going to rebuke the devourer for me. He's going to fight my battles for me. It's just like if Jawan wanted to fight Pastor Jesse, and Jesse cried out to the Lord and said, hey, I'm a tither, and the Lord would intervene. He'd send Rick to jump on him from behind. The Lord intervenes. He rebukes the devourer. He stops it from happening. Amen? So you could look at your finances. You know, if you feel like the enemy's robbing your finances and you're a tither, you have the right to call on God. He says, try me now in this. Test me. See if I will not do what I said. So you try and you say, hey, God, I'm a tither. My finances are being robbed. What are you going to do about it? I don't like to limit God, Jawan. I mean, you know, the devourer comes in a lot of different ways. He doesn't just hit your finances. He tries to hit your relationships. He tries to hit you physically. He tries to devour from us in whatever way he can. He tries to make your heart go mushy. You know? He does things, the enemy, to try to get us off track. And so what God says, if you give to me, I'll rebuke what the enemy's throwing at you. Amen? So when we're a tither and we give our tithes and our offerings, we have the right to call on the Lord and say, hey! Call on Him. Call on Him. Cry out to Him. He says in Psalms 107, cry out to me in your destructions and I'll deliver you. I'll send forth my word and I'll heal you. Of all your diseases, cry out to Him. The Lord will rebuke the devourer. So don't think that you're just giving and that it doesn't bring anything. The Lord says He's going to fight battles for you. He's not only going to pour it back into you, but He's going to fight battles for you. Amen? That's the intent. He is going to fight. So we praise the Lord, and then it destroys the spirit of heaviness. We give to the Lord, and the Lord's rebuking the devourer for us. So the Lord is fighting our battles through our praise and through our giving. And God is fighting for us. And we haven't even talked about prayer yet. And the Lord's already intervening on our behalf. Can you imagine, Pastor Jesse, if we started praising and giving and then had the prayer meeting? Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight, if we just do what God is telling us, man, we're going to destroy the works of the enemy, and we don't even have to ever fight him. The battle's been won, amen? That's what the Word declares. So we've just got to learn how to step into what God has said. So the next point I want to make to you is found in Matthew chapter 18. This is a story of a rich man. He lent out money. Let's just say he lent $1 million to a guy. Lent $1 million to the guy, and he called the note due. He said, "Hey, pay me my money." And the guy said, "Oh, I don't have your money." And the rich guy says, "Well, I'm going to throw you in prison, your family in prison, until you can pay me back." And the guy said, "Mercy, mercy, mercy, please have mercy on us." And the rich ruler said, "Okay, I forgive you your debt." Then the guy went out into the street, and he found a guy that owed him $1,000. He said, "Pay me that $1,000 you owe me." The guy said, "Man, I don't have it. You know, can you give me some time?" And the guy's like, "No, I'm going to throw you and your family into prison." And the guy says, "Mercy, mercy, mercy, please." The guy said, "No mercy for you." And he threw him into prison. Picks up in Matthew 18, verse 32, when the master, the rich ruler, had found out about it. He says, "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." And then here's the hitter. "So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So, when we walk around in unforgiveness, when we're harboring unforgiveness, it's not a future tense, it's a now thing. We get turned over to being tortured. We open the door for the enemy to have his way with us. We become the playground of the enemy to torture us because of the unforgiveness in our heart. Because God says, "I've forgiven you much, and you can't forgive, then you're going to be tortured," is what it's telling us here. So forgiveness breaks the right of the enemy to torture us, amen? So we know whether your mama hurt you, or your daddy hurt you, or somebody abused you along the way. If you've been holding on to forgiveness, and it seems like your life has just been a mess ever since, have you ever asked yourself, "Can I let go of this thing and give it to God and be made free today?" And then just take yourself out from under the hand of the enemy to being tortured any longer. Because that's what it does. It releases you. I had somebody that hurt me one time and, you know, owed me money. And I saw him one day and he acted like he didn't even know me. And I thought, you know, I should just hit him once. Just once, it'll be okay. But I refrained and I went home and we were getting ready here at the church. I was reading a book called Become a Prayer Warrior that we were going to do on Wednesday nights. And I'm reading through it in my closet. And chapter 3 or 4 was on forgiveness. And that just happened to be where I was that night. And I'm reading that chapter and the Lord says, "You got to forgive him." I said, "He does not deserve it." And the Lord told me this. He said, "If he had sent you that money, you'd be tied to him. And I didn't want you tied to him." I went, "Oh, I forgive." I was released. And the weight came off of me. I was made free. I had no problem. I could see the guy today. And I don't care. I'm good. Forgiveness does that. It makes you good when you forgive. But when you don't forgive, you open the door to being tortured by the enemy. When you harbor unforgiveness, you're saying, "Torture me, devil." And I know we would never say that out loud because nobody would ever say, oh, I want to be tortured by the devil. But that's what we say when we're walking in unforgiveness. We're saying, come on, devil, hit me. So I got three things right now. I praise the Lord, heaven is goes. I give to the Lord, he rebukes the devourer. I forgive people. I forgive people. And listen, I save myself from torture. Amen? Lastly, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I've preached this message so many times, I almost don't even need my Bible. I could just almost say it out of my head. That's what's nice when you travel. You could just get one word for that nation and just preach it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves what? Torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Fear leads to torment. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Amen? So God does not give us. Fear is a spirit. And the way you defeat it is how? Love. My grandson raised his hand in first service. My grandsons are with me. He said, love. I'm like, amen, my grandson's getting it. Love is how you defeat the fear. Love. We love God because he first loved us, it says. So when we were walking in love, we're destroying the fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Because listen, if I love God and I know he loves me, I'm not afraid of what's happening. I'm not afraid of what's going on. I'm not afraid of what's going on in America. I'm believing for a great move of God right now in America. And let me tell you, if you have not gotten that book yet, you need to get it. I just finished reading it the other day, The Next Great Move of God by Jennifer LeClaire. I just finished it the other day morning, and man, it was just exciting about what God wants to do. But if you can't believe for, even as my sister said, if you can't believe for what God wants to do, if we're caught up in the fear around about us, there's no love in that. The love of God is not there for us. Because love, trust. Love, trust. You know, you got little kids not forsaking Christ and being beheaded right now over in the Middle East. Little kids. They're not denying Christ. And they're being beheaded right now. You got these Chinese people with the threat of the government on them all the time. And they don't care. You saw those halls I was in. Those were in business areas. They're getting smart. I said, man, we're in a business building having church. He goes, yeah, it's Sunday. Nobody does business on Sunday. So they rent these business halls on Sunday because, you know, nobody's there. They open up the windows and they have church. They don't care. That mall I was in, I did five services there so loud. You hear them people laughing? It was crazy. So loud, but we're in a mall. They don't care. They're bold like a lion and harmless like a dove. And they're moving forward. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear involves torment. So I've given you four things. Praise the Lord. Give to the Lord. Forgive each other and love one another. And it destroys the plans that the enemy's laying for you. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds so simple. Well, then just do it then. If it sounds that simple, just do it. Be a praiser of God. Be a giver to the Lord. Be a forgiver of people and love one another. Amen. Let people know, oh my gosh, they love so much at New Hope. They walk in love. They're forgiving. That's our mission statement, walk, forgiveness and love. Let's walk in it, amen? It destroys the plans that the enemy has. It keeps us from being turned over to torture now. And, you know, as I've gone around different churches around the world, that's why many people are sick is because they can't forgive. The body of Christ gets sick because we can't forgive. We have to forgive. And you say, oh, Pastor, but you don't know. But I do know the one that does know. I know what Jesus did so that we can experience that forgiveness. I know what His plan is for you. His plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We just have to be willing to step into what He's called us to. Now, can you imagine, as we walk this out in our lives, what our prayer life will be like? What God begins to do. We won't have to focus so much on praying against the enemy as we focus on glorifying God. Because as we glorify God, that's what's going to cause Him to move amongst us. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give You praise for this day. We thank You, Lord, that we could be here in Your presence. Lord, that Your glory is in this house. Lord, that Your love is here today. I thank You, Father God, that You first loved us. That, Lord, Your love is drawing us. Your love is calling us. Your love is filling us. That You've given us power, love, and a sound mind. And Father, I pray today for us, for this congregation today, Father God. That, Lord, that we could begin to just to praise and to give and forgive and to love like never before. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've one or two or three or four of these things that you talked about is things that I'm going through right now. Maybe you've had a tough time praising God. You've been battling depression, or you've had a tough time giving to the Lord because you just can't see how it's going to happen. Or you've just been, you know, having unforgiveness against somebody in your life, or maybe you've just been living in fear and you say, I want to break out of that today. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Yeah, amen, 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 amen. Praise God, praise God. Let me ask if you raise your hand just to get up and come out of your seats right now as everybody stands. If you raise your hand, just come to the front right now. We want to just pray for you right now. We're going to believe that God's going to do something supernatural in you today that just breaks that off. So come on, if you raise your hand, just come. Get the altar workers down here. Come on, and come on. Move out. You raise your hand, come and get prayer today. Father, we thank You for the love that You have for us. I pray today, Father God, that, Lord, that the plans of the enemy be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Lord, that You just fill us overflowing with Your Spirit. You break off all fear and intimidation, Father God. Lord, that the voice of the enemy be silent. Lord, that we put on the garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness be gone from us in the name of Jesus. Let it flow, God, today in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Just fill us today, Lord. Fill us today, Lord. Oh, let it rain down, God. Yeah. Let it rain down, God. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Just surrender to You, Lord Jesus. We surrender to You, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it flow, God. Yeah, yeah. Let it flow, God. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Yeah. Let it rain down today, Father. Pour it out, Father God. Lord, let Your love just...